This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
And here we go.
There's a drive!
That is Derek's Dimes. Well done, well done.
Swing and a drive!
6'11 and a half. He's an athlete, face-up shooter.
High drive to left field!
I've been hearing that a lot.
The drive and the two!
He visited here this past weekend. Sounds like it went well.
The drive of the game.
I think if I'm Underwood, I want you to go out and I want you to take every available shot you have.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right!
Well, here we are.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here.
Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman,
Brad Underwood,
Lovie Smith coming in to join us.
Yeah.
Let's go for a little ride.
Hey, good morning. It's The Drive with Tay and Piper. Lante, Derek Piper, Isaac Ambrose with us today. Trevor Valise checking out for the day. So he's one of those guys that is a social distancer. So as soon as Isaac said, yes, I'm coming in, Trevor's like, I'm out. So it's an amazing to have that effect on somebody, Isaac, but you've got it on Trevor. We kid. Trevor will probably be back tomorrow. Okay, so today I was supposed to be coming in here, and I even wore my Illinois shirt thinking that we were going to be talking about Adam Miller and him signing on the dotted line, and now all of a sudden we've got Coleman Hawkins and Andre Curbelo and Adam Miller, and here we go. But I don't think there's been a signing.
No, nothing official quite yet.
Okay.
No. And still relative silence on Adam's part. From what I've heard, the Illinois camp isn't really too concerned.
Okay.
And still expect him to be on board, expect him to sign at some point. Of course, he wouldn't necessarily have to sign a letter of intent,
yeah,
because he could sign a financial agreement, although there would be some benefits. If you remember when we were talking to Adam Fletcher, he said that he gets to talk to Andre Curbelo and
that's right,
have him be part of the workout program because Andre signed his letter of intent. So were Adam to do that today, he could be working out, you know, on Zoom with the team tomorrow.
And
Illinois fans just want to see it happen because he's been committed since November. He said and tweeted himself, he's 1,000% committed. He's been here for a couple of games, trying to recruit Brandon Weston to join him. And fans are rightfully going to wonder, okay, if you're all on board, let's make this official.
It's a world I know nothing about. I was neither a top recruit, not even a small recruit that was recruited to play any kind of sports in college, right? So I don't know anything about that world. And I certainly don't pretend to understand why all of this would, you know, to me, it's okay, I'm going to Illinois. I want to go to Illinois. Where do I sign? And done. We're done. But obviously that hasn't happened yet. Who knows? Maybe he has signed something and sent it in and we just don't know yet, but I think we would kind of get an idea.
Yeah, I think Illinois, as soon as that comes in, we want to put it out there.
Right.
And you can see some quote from Underwood talking about Adam and
I agree.
Good PR move.
Yeah, no, totally. So I guess in my mind, you know, again, I don't try to get into the heads of younger guys and gals that are doing this. So I'm not going to try to make up some excuse for Adam Miller as to why he hasn't signed. I don't understand it. The other thing is, you know, it's the IO thing that maybe that always leaves that out there to think, okay, it seemed like there was a little bit of a, okay, if Io leaves, which he should do after his sophomore year, then I'll come, I'll take that spot, and then, you know, here we go. But obviously, we don't know yet on Io. No decision's been made on his part or his family's part about declaring for the NBA draft. So as we sit right now, Io DeSumo's still part of this Illinois basketball team. I don't know how much that weighs into this at all either, and I don't know that you know that, but I have to ask you. I mean, do you think that would be the main reason you think that Adam Miller has yet to sign?
It'd be one of the first, not the first thing that comes to my mind.
Okay.
And it was something that during the recruitment itself and even after when he committed but didn't sign, the buzz was, well, Adam wants to see what's going to happen with Io.
Okay.
And Adam wants to know that his role is going to be an opportunity to have the stage and the opportunities that Iowa had when he came in. Of course, now that Alan Griffin is out of the mix, there's still an opportunity you could see there with Io and Adam and Curbelo. Adam would still get a lot of run.
Yeah, with police gone. I mean, there was a role gone, that police played last year.
Yeah, for sure. So I can't say for certain that he's waiting it out right now.
Okay.
And as we mentioned yesterday, Io has until the 26th to declare or not. People are going to wonder if there's silence on Io's side and Adam's going to wait it out, that they're going to connect the two. And I wouldn't blame Adam, honestly, that was his true intentions. There was talk in recent months, even as Adam was coming here to games, that, you know, if something happened and Io was staying, that Adam was still on board. And maybe that's the case. Maybe it's he wants to have some kind of a ceremony or some kind of a, you know how kids like
I get it.
Draw it up and get all eyes on them, which, again, he was at the Jordan stores for his commitment. He had the confetti drop. He had the big presentation. He had all that, and we're in a situation right now where no one's getting together.
No.
Like, that's not going to happen. I just think that if that was his intention, if you wanted to have some kind of gathering or some kind of presentation to people on a Zoom or on social media, it'd probably be in his best interest in terms of just perception to say it.
Yes.
To say, okay, I'm going to wait and do some kind of announcement.
It's like somebody that goes and gets married on an island.
Right.
And they say, we're going to go marry, and there's going to be a small gathering of family. But when we get back, we're going to hit it hard with a party. And that's almost like what you almost hope for Illinois fans. Is like, go ahead and say it, and then we'll still be excited the day that you throw your party and have your announcement. But I get it. Now, you know, the other confusing thing to me, and I'm glad you said that, like, that you wouldn't blame Adam, because I agree. I mean, you know, Adam Miller wants to go somewhere where he can immediately make an impact. And with Alan Griffin gone and with Andres Feliz gone, there's plenty of minutes there to get. And so to me, I mean, these guys played together in high school for at least a year, right? If not two.
And Adam and Io?
Yeah.
Won a state title together, yeah.
Yeah, won a state title.
Played 1 year together.
So I don't want to try to make a story of, well, maybe there's a little bit of that. I just think it's simply that Adam, Io being here would be a little bit of a shadow, especially on year one of Adam, and maybe that's what it is. I don't know. And for those keeping count at home, like the Will Cain, Dak Prescott thing, we are, again, talking about Io, so mark that down. This has got to be about 2 weeks in a row.
Sure.
But, you know, that's what we do right now. That's the big news.
The main storyline.
So, I don't know. It's just, it's interesting. I'm sure a guy like you that writes for Illini Inquirer and probably has the story ready to roll if something would happen, or at least close. I assume for you, you're a guy that thought about this most of the day, and I didn't. I forgot about it. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, April 15. Why is that? I'm like, oh. And then I checked Twitter real quick, and I didn't see any exciting news.
Sure.
And I'm like, oh, this is frustrating.
He's got a lot of time to do it. The last day to sign is August 1st, which said yesterday, please, let's not be here sitting June 15th and saying, is Adam going to do it or not? No.
My goodness.
I just think within the next week, he's got to say something. He's got to do something.
Okay.
Some will say, well, you committed to Illinois. Whatever I was going to do,
right,
you should own up to that commitment or honor that commitment. It wouldn't stray away from what he said back when he pledged Illinois. I'm not signing because I want to make sure it's the right situation and all that. And I think I, at the time, was tied into it. But it's just the first day.
It is.
He's had less than 24 hours to sign. Okay. So we'll see. And again, what I heard last night is Illinois is still feeling good. They're not panicking. So
I mean, what other concern would there be in terms of if all of it, like, in other words, what other school would be excited to know that he's not coming here?
Michigan.
Okay.
Yeah. And Juwan Howard had visited with him a couple of days before his announcement.
That's right.
At the Jordan store. Michigan just missed out on Josh Christopher.
Okay.
Michigan has some relationships with Juwan, obviously, to Chicago, to the Mac Urban Fire program.
Got it.
I think they would be option number one.
That's the runner up right now. That's the horse coming down the stretch that's gaining, it seems. I don't want to say gaining, but at least maintaining where they are in the race. So, well, we'll see what happens, because, you know, I recruiting just boggles my mind. It really does. But it's such a lifeblood of a program, and obviously that's something that's huge, and that's why Illinois fans. I know Aaron Bennett even tweeted out. He's like, "Hey, I've tried. I've reached out. Haven't heard anything. So here's two interviews that we did today or previously with Adam Miller. Just right. FYI. So yeah, yeah.
I'll be honest with you though. Adam from Peoria.
Yeah,
was at Manuel. His mom. Was a teacher there. She moved up to Chicago with him when he went to Morgan Park.
Okay.
And since committing to Illinois, there's now been talk that Adam's family is going to move back to Central Illinois.
Oh.
And to be closer and to be able to go okay. to obviously as many games as they possibly could, which
I don't blame
his family still lives up in Chicago and makes it down.
Right.
But, it would make sense. I'm sure they still have family in Peoria. So, again, I think a lot of change would have to happen. Of course, you can pivot from certain plans and, sure. and make different ones. But again, I think that's just another part on the non-panic side. Okay, that's just been part of the planning here. They've planned on him being at Illinois.
Man, I would want to see. In my case, I have two sons. If one of them played college ball, I would want to be at every event, and that gets expensive. And I know that Asunmu's do a wonderful job of getting to every event, whether it be in Champaign or on the road. So I could see the benefits of living in Central Illinois. Right there would cut down on half your travel. You know, just driving across town to State Farm Center to go watch your son play or daughter, whatever the case. And so, I mean, that could factor in a big way if that is the case. So, well, we'll be here if anything is ever announced. We will be talking to an Underwood today. Now, we will not broach that subject with an Underwood, but it's not Brad. Brad has been pushed aside today. We are going to talk to Tyler.
He wants to hop on the line, too.
Yeah.
It's fine with that.
I mean, he's not, what's he doing? He could just get on the other side of the house, right? And although, isn't that funny? Like, back in the day when I was young, you could literally be in the other side of the house, just pick up the other phone.
Yeah, that's right.
But that's not the case anymore. But it was funny last night when you and Trevor and I, we were here for an hour after the show talking about some of the things that we want to try to set up. And one of us mentioned Tyler Underwood, and I'm like, oh, I think it'd be awesome. And I think it was you that was like, well, how about just getting Brad on? And I'm like, you know what? We can get Brad on, and I would never say no to Brad, but I want to hear from Tyler. I think this will be fun to talk to Tyler Underwood. One of the things I want to ask him is being quarantined at home with Brad Underwood. Brad seems like a really fun guy. I'm not lying. He seems like a really fun guy. Illinois fans have seen the really intense side of Brad Underwood. There's got to be something in the middle there that'll be fun to hear about what it's like to be quarantined at home with Brad. I mean, are they watching video every day? Are they watching games every day?
Yep.
I also want to ask Tyler, is coaching in his blood? Does he want to one day kind of follow the footsteps, if you will, of his dad and get into coaching? Because he's a guy that's now been with three programs, right? Stephen F. Austin,
yep.
Oklahoma State, and Illinois. And, you know, he's seen a lot. He's been around the game for a long time. He was a pretty good, you know, decent player. Well, I mean, listen, he's a good player.
Good enough to compete with those guys in practice.
I was going
to
say,
I'll tell you that.
If you're at this level, you're a great player, right? But he's a guy that you wonder if one day the coaching bug will bite him, and maybe it already has.
It sounds like it's going to. They've discussed it before, and Brad had mentioned something about he was asked, would Tyler stick on the staff, essentially, maybe a grad assistant? And we can ask Tyler about his plans or if he's had any feelers on where he's going to go next. But Brad said maybe he needs to struggle like Brad did. Maybe he needs to spend the night sleeping in a car on a recruiting trip like he did in JUCO days.
I would agree, right? Yeah. I mean, if you're Brad, the good news is with Brian Underwood, he's got a lot of connections.
Oh, no.
And he can make a call, and that call is going to be an impactful one to whatever he's calling, whatever program. But certainly, I don't think that's a bad idea at all. It's kind of what Illinois did, I think, and Lovie Smith did with Nathan Shielhaus. Said, you know, you need to go grow elsewhere,
right?
And then maybe one day come back. And I think, you know, I'm one guy definitely on board with having a guy like Nathan Shielhaus one day becoming the head football coach at Illinois, as long as, you know, he proves himself.
Sure.
And right now it seems like he's doing that at Iowa State, but I think he still has some years. And a guy like Roger Powell, who we've talked about, and again, I'm not trying to get rid of BU. Underwood can stay here for as long as he wants, as long as he's winning games at a high level, which it looks like he's going to. But certainly down the road, you know, time is on Roger's side, the age. Right. And Roger Powell, a guy that has been, what, at Valpo, at Vanderbilt, and now is one of the lead assistants at Gonzaga.
Not
I mean, he's certainly doing his part. Now, the next step for Roger would probably be taking over a program, maybe in the Missouri Valley or a program like that, and then, of course, then making the next leap, which maybe one day down the road could be Illinois. But, again, I'm not trying to get rid of Brad Underwood. Sure. I'm not trying to make Josh Whitman's job any harder than what it already has been and is at Illinois.
Get an opportunity to talk to Tyler, obviously, about this past season.
Yeah.
Practice every day at all the road trips and everything. And, yeah, also want to ask him, who's Susan giving more chores? Him or Brad?
I like it. And does she give it to Brad, and then Brad scowls at Tyler and says, you heard your mom, go mow the yard. Yeah, I think that's a great idea. We'll ask him about that. The other guy we're going to talk to today is a friend of all of ours, Fred Wakefield, who now works with the University of Illinois in the in more of the money side. And I wanted to reach out. We were talking about the NFL draft, which is coming up, is a week from tomorrow. And now it's going to take forever to get here. If I didn't know that next Thursday, it's almost like this Jordan documentary that starts Sunday.
Oh, man. I'm already prepping for it.
They're showing series 1 and 2 on Sunday. Last night, I set the DVR to make sure I got them all. And yet, now that we know it's Sunday, now every minute ticks away, and it takes like 90 seconds for a minute. And you're just like, oh, come on. Not that, I mean, normally I don't want Sundays to come that quick, because I love Friday nights and Saturdays and the relaxation of a day or a week of work being off. But now I'm just like, can we just skip to Sunday? And then after Sunday, can we just skip to Thursday and get the NFL draft? But I want to talk to Fred Wakefield about that. Fred is a guy that did not get drafted, and is someone that I want to ask him. You know, you always hear the theory that if it's going to be late in the draft, like round 7, would you rather just not get drafted by a certain team and then be more of a free agent to try to find your way? And, of course, Fred did with the Arizona Cardinals. He ended up playing, I think, 6 years with the Cardinals, 1 year with the Raiders. And a cool perspective is the fact that he played offensive line, defensive line, and tight end in the NFL. You got to be stinking talented for that. And, you know, I was able to see Fred earlier this, it was the Northwestern Illinois football game. I ran into him out in Arizona. Did you see him when you were out?
I don't believe that I did, no.
Okay, but Fred and his wife, Casey, they both came to the El Jefe, where the Phoenix Illini Club does their game watch there for Illinois. That was really cool. I know you went there and saw a wonderful, that was the Michigan State game?
It was.
Oh, you lucky dog.
That was a good time, man.
Instead, I get Northwestern when some quarterback I've never heard of just keeps running for 7 yards. I'm like, can we not bring him down, Fred? I mean, you're big. What, can you not bring him down? But it's interesting that that Wakefield was able to do that and ended up forging a nice career in the NFL. And, you know, it's one of those where he's really trim now. He's really trimmed up. And not that he was ever, you know what I mean. But it's amazing when he walked up that day, he and Casey, I said hi to Casey, and then I go to shake hands with Fred, and I'm just like, you are a large man. Like, you forget how big these guys are to play in the NFL. It's like, wow. No way I'm playing in the NFL.
Thinking how big Brett Miller, who we had on yesterday, would have had to be to even just take a shot at Vince Wilfork.
Can you imagine a guy like me at a robust 6 foot, now like 230, unfortunately, need to get down to about 215.
So you might want that 230 to hit him.
My goodness. I don't know when I would wake up. if I took a shot like that, like if Britt Miller lined up across from me and just said, okay, Lon, we're going to go at each other from 5 yards, go. And I wonder what day I'd wake up after he threw me back about 30 yards.
The good news is you wouldn't hear his trash talk after he puts you on the ground.
That's true. He'd be standing over me and be like, you know what? We need some help. Can we call 911? Some interesting developments we're working on this week, which will be fun. I think Friday we're going to do kind of a no interview day, and we're just going to have some fun. We're going to have Who You Got, of course, at 5:30 with the infamous Hans D, who's now worldly known. Also, we're going to do some more of your war game, where you compare, you ask me two players, and sometimes it makes no sense.
I know.
But it's so fun to do that, of who had the better war in their in a certain season.
Yeah, their best season, yeah.
Yeah, their best season. So, and then, of course, we've got some others. Like, we had people texting in maybe like Ryan Sandberg against Javi Baez.
Right.
You know, and stuff like the Soriano old school versus new.
Against Aramis Ramirez. Yeah. And Ty Cobb against Pete Rose.
Oh, that's right. Happy birthday to Pete Rose yesterday, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
The Mr. Hustle. Of course, the guy that was in prison in Marion, ironically, when he was in the All-Star game one year, do you remember this? He bowled over the catcher.
Yes, I remember seeing that.
His name was Ray Fosse, and only Pete Rose in an All-Star game would knock a guy. It affected his career, Ray Fosse's career. So, but Pete Rose, yeah, just had a birthday. But we're working on some things, so Friday will be fun. The other thing is, I mentioned yesterday that the Chicago Bears have always kind of been my second team. I'm a huge Cardinals fan. It's not even close. But I've always liked it when the Bears were good. My dad was a Bears fan, and it seemed like living around here, people are just happier when the Bears are good. And so Trevor jumped on that idea and said, what if we did where we talked about, like, if your favorite team left the sport, then who would you root for? That almost happened to me with the Cardinals when they moved out west from the St. Louis Cardinals to the Phoenix Cardinals. I said a prayer to the good Lord, and I'm like, please let them keep the Cardinals name, because if they turn into be the Arizona Rattlers, then I don't have an NFL team anymore because I wasn't going to continue to follow them.
Right.
So that almost happened to me. So we're going to ask you, the listener, on Friday, you know, if your team was gone, who would you root for in each league? I think that'll be kind of a fun exercise. Tomorrow we're working on Nathan Hodel. I came up with this yesterday. He was a long snapper with Illinois back in the day. And then spent, I think, 8 years with the Arizona Cardinals as a long snapper and went to a Super Bowl. And I thought that'd be fun to talk to him about guys like Edgerrin James, Kurt Warner, Larry Fitzgerald, what it was like in the Super Bowl. So we're working
Neil
on
Rackers.
That. And Neil Rackers, that's true. He was good friends, still is, I'm sure, with Neil. So we're hoping to get Nathan Hodel tomorrow. And then I'm working on getting a doctor from Carl to join us to talk about what is going on right now in America. And I want to make it more of a sports angle. Like, why can't we golf? I mean, let's be honest. Why can't we go golf? If I can walk across the street to Meijer and go in with 30 people to buy groceries, why can't I go golf by myself? And so we'll ask. I don't want to get political with it.
Sure.
But I want to ask him about that. I also want to ask him if baseball plays without fans. Is that doable? What's the risk?
Quarantining the teams to get, I mean, not together, but in a location like Phoenix.
Yeah. So
what's the medical perspective?
Exactly. So we'll talk to that. We haven't verified both of those yet, but hopefully tomorrow that'll be our show. All right. When we come back, we're going to visit with Tyler Underwood, of course, Brad Underwood's son, former Illini basketball player, asking him about what it's like quarantined with Brad in that house right now. It'll be fun to talk to Tyler. 505 Fred Wakefield to talk about the NFL draft and kind of catch up with what he's doing. If you want to weigh in, 359-2255. 217, of course, 359-2255. It is The Draw.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-597-0315. That's 800-597-0315. 800-597-0315. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Farmers are the backbone of our communities. At Prospect Bank, we cultivate relationships that help ensure our farmers have the tools they need for a bountiful harvest. I'm Matt Hoos, and as the Chief Agribusiness Officer at Prospect Bank, I'll put my years of experience to work for you and your operation. Get the conversation started by calling 217-896-2423. Opportunities are waiting for you. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
At ABC Heating and Air, it's our promise to help you always be comfortable. Do you need rescued because you're burning hot? Do you need rescued because your air is shot? Call ABC Heating and Air at 352-5400 and let us rescue you from the heat. ABC Heating and Air, 352-5400. Can't you see you need to call me at ABC? Call ABC Heating and Air. That's ABC Heating and Air, 352-5400.
With Tay and Piper, Lante, Derek Piper, Isaac Ambrose in as well. Colleen is in here bugging us, handing us more scripts that we have to read. Thank you, Colleen. Shut the door. All right, she shut the door. We gotta have privacy when we get Tyler Underwood on. Yeah, that's exactly what we need to do.
Focus.
Yeah, focus. That's exactly right. All right, again, Fred Wakefield joining us at 5:05. Excited to talk to him about the NFL draft that's coming up. Right now, though, we welcome, as previously mentioned, to the show, Tyler Underwood. How are you, Tyler?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Good, buddy. Are you, I don't know, like for me being a 49-year-old out of shape guy, this quarantine stuff's kind of easy. I just kind of go from the fridge to the couch. Being your age and athletic and hyper, I would assume, what is this like for you?
Well, it's definitely been an adjustment as someone who spent 5 years playing Division I athletics. You're always on the go. You don't have much breaks. So in a way, it's been kind of a hard adjustment, just you know, not being on a schedule every day, getting adjusted to that type of thing. But it's been good. So a lot of video games, probably too many video games. So, but I'm getting adjusted well.
You playing with anybody from the team? What's on the sticks these days?
Yeah, me, Trent Frazier, Jacob Granenson. We're pretty big Fortnite guys. I actually got to give a shout out to my guy, Andrew Tay.
He's unbelievable.
So he plays with us a good deal.
We've heard of that kid.
Is he any good?
He puts me and Trent on his back quite often.
Okay.
So it's not an easy task to carry us. We're not the best, though. So.
It's the funniest thing, Tyler. He always talks about you. Always. And I asked him every time, I'm like, do you ever tell Tyler that I'm your dad? And he's like, I'm not telling him that you're my dad. I just always laugh. I'm like, all right, well, then don't tell him. We'll have him. But I said, we're going to have him on. And he's like, oh, that's awesome. So I'm glad you gave him a shout out. Thank you.
Yeah, he's a great kid. We enjoy playing with him. He's a big fan. So he's awesome. We enjoy him.
Tyler, what's it like having Brad at home in the house?
Oh, boy.
Full house now. Your sister's there, your mom, and how's Brad holding up?
It's actually been it's been pretty enjoyable, just having all five of us at home. It's something we didn't get to do a whole lot growing up. So I think we've had more dinner since this has happened, just with all five of us at dinner and just getting around, just talking, catching up. It's been pretty good. But, no, we go on a lot of walks. So we're up to about two walks today. So, but he's doing great. Obviously, the initial shock of it all is that part was hard. But we're getting settled, and it's going well.
Still, you talk a lot of ball. You watch film, yeah. Or what do you? How you guys?
Yeah,
that's still involved.
We've watched quite a bit of film. Obviously, having someone like him to learn from is great for me. So I enjoy picking his brain on a few things. We've watched a bunch of NBA stuff, just different schemes defensively and offensively. So that's been pretty cool for me, just being able to pick his brain one-on-one. It's been a time I've cherished, and I've learned quite a lot. So,
when you're done with film, who has more chores, you or him?
Ooh.
Oh, definitely me. Definitely me. So.
Mom doesn't let up on you, does she?
She's relentless.
That's what moms do.
I forgot about my high school days, so it's been a rude awakening coming back home.
I love it. Visiting with Tyler Underwood, of course, member of the Illinois basketball program. Tyler, you mentioned you've been able to watch a lot of film, and that's something that is obviously a bonus to somebody like you to have a guy like Brad there to talk about, you know, his dad, and he can kind of break down things. I'm interested because I've never talked to you before, so I don't know a lot about you in terms of that. Is that something that, has the coaching bug bit you? Is that something that you see in your future?
Yeah, I do think so. I've grown up around the game of basketball. something I'm very passionate about. I love the game. I love thinking the game, love being around the game. So I think it's definitely something I want to stay involved in the future. So,
you know, Tyler, what's interesting too is not many your age have been able to go through three different programs, right? Stephen F. Austin, Oklahoma State, and now Illinois. And, you know, to have to go to the next stop, meet friends, establish friendships, leave, go to the next stop, do that. And I'm sure growing up, you had a lot of that as well with your dad and his profession. But what has that been like through the years of being able to kind of join three different brotherhoods, if you will, of teams? And how have you, I mean, obviously you fit in very well with that, but was that a challenge at all?
At first it was a challenge. Luckily it was something I had some experience in high school, going to three high schools. So I learned a great deal just from those experiences. And I begin to look at them as new learning experiences, a chance to see things from a different view, a different program. I got to play in the Big Ten, the Big 12. Then I got to play in the South and be a part of a great and major team. So I think I have a pretty unique perspective and have seen quite a few things. But wouldn't change it for the world. Learned a ton in the process, and it was a great time.
Tyler, you got the start on senior day, the regular season finale against Iowa. Big win for you guys as you secured the 4 seed in the Big Ten tournament. Brad said he wasn't going to cry. I don't think he held up on that end. But what was that like for you? I know you had a couple of dimes inside to Kofi. Just the emotions of that and to walk out there on the floor in front of a sold-out crowd for your last game.
Yeah, man, that was a truly, truly special night. I told myself I wasn't going to cry, so I was trying to keep the emotions and just focus on the game. I thought I was able to do that pretty well. But then getting the start, I mean, that's something I'll never forget, sitting next to Io and looking around and seeing 15,500 in the stands with the lights and all that. I mean, that was something I'll never forget, truly a special, special moment. But then it meant even more just to get the win. And obviously we didn't know that was going to be our last moment of the season, but that was a moment I'll never forget. And I'm sure a lot of guys on the team, that'll be the same way.
A couple days later, you have a practice at Hinkle Fieldhouse over in Indianapolis at Butler. And from all accounts, anyone that's talked about it, whether it's your dad or others on the staff, say that that was maybe the best practice of the year. Any plays that stick out from that practice? Any moments you're like, man, we're humming at a high level?
Yeah, there was a lot. So we did a lot of competitive 5-on-5 that day. So that was actually on the other team opposite of Iron and Frazier. I remember just trying to guard them that day. It was just ridiculous. We'd get it close, 4-4, playing 5, and you know the ball is going to go to Io. We sent two guys at him, and there's still just not much you can do. Just hitting tough shot after tough shot. Kofi was phenomenal. I mean, in a way, I think our team knew there was a chance that was going to be our last time to ever be on the floor together.
Wow.
So we went out how we wanted to. We competed really hard, and I think that was kind of this team's MO, is we were going to compete every night and be the hardest playing team. And that practice kind of symbolized that.
Tyler Underwood, our guest. Follow him on Twitter at TWood_12. Of course, an Underwood would have an underscore in his Twitter handle. Tyler, what were the emotions? I know we've talked to Kent Brown about that. We've talked to Orlando Antigua and who else?
Stephen Gentry,
yes, about that as well, and kind of got their perspective of the day it all came down where, hey, guys, the Big Ten tournament's canceled. Hey, guys, the NCAA tournament's canceled. You just put it eloquently about, you know, we knew it might be the last time we were ever together as a team. What are the emotions like for guys on the team? Not only the idea that you don't get to achieve or maybe, you know, kind of have your cake and eat it too. You kind of got the cake with a great season, but you didn't get to eat it. And so what are kind of the emotions from a player's perspective? And what was that like on that bus ride? And what did you guys talk about being your age and knowing that that's been stripped from you?
Yeah, it was kind of hard for us to process because we went from Sunday playing Iowa, and I doubt very many people on our team knew about the coronavirus, to Tuesday we were on the bus ride up to Indy, or Wednesday on the bus ride up to Indy, and then we learned that there's going to be no fans there. Mm. So we're like, okay, at least we get to play. Then we're at dinner that night as a team, and obviously the Rudy Gobert stuff goes down. And we realize there's a pretty good chance that our season's not going to finish. But you still kind of hold out hope. Dr. Hendricks did a great job of keeping us up to date, kind of in the loop of what exactly the coronavirus was. And then, like you said, we go to practice at Henkel. We see Michigan, and I think it was Rutgers, take the floor. So we're like, okay, there's some hope. Like, maybe this is going to happen. And then we find out afterwards that obviously the Big Ten tournament's been canceled. So we obviously head back to Champaign. There was a lot of talk on the bus, just like, is there going to be an NCAA tournament? We didn't want to just be all negative and be like, no, there's not going to be a tournament, obviously. Sure. I think all of us kind of knew. And then we were probably 30 minutes out from Champaign when we got the Twitter updates. And that was hard, man. That was really hard. Seasons are so hard and long, and you get to be so close with all the guys on the team. And you just invest so much. There's a lot of tears, just a lot of emotion to have something like that. Like, you know, guys who have worked their whole career for that, and to have that moment taken, it was hard. But it was the fact we were all together when we found out, that made it easier.
Yeah.
And it's a brotherhood, like you guys said. So we were able to lean on each other in those moments.
Yeah, and you know, Tyler, I don't want to dwell on it, but I want to ask one more about that. And it's a situation where, how long does that linger now, do you think, for guys like you and Kipper and Andres and the guys that know you're not coming back next year to play? I mean, look, there's bigger fish to fry, right? I mean, this is a country that is going through this. There's people losing jobs. There's people losing their lives. There's kids that aren't going to be able to walk in graduation, you being one. There's kids in high school or even eighth grade that aren't being able to graduate. There's weddings going on that nobody can attend. So I understand that it's not just a woe is me to one individual or one particular team, but will that be something that for the, you know, is it the rest of your life? You guys look back, you and Kipper and Andres and others look back and say, man, we're never going to have, it's like reading a book almost to the end and not getting the final chapter.
Yeah, I think there's always kind of that what could have been factor. Obviously now being a month or so out, perspectives have changed just because you know more about how serious this was.
Sure.
But obviously it's just, it'll always be that what if, but the one thing we've kind of talked about as a team is like, we did it right. Like, we ended it, we beat Iowa at home. That was an unbelievable environment. State Farm Center was rocking. So just to have that moment and know we still achieved so many of our goals that we had set out before the season, that'll always last. And I'll always look back on the season so fondly because of those things.
Tyler Underwood, our guest. Tyler, we've had a lot to talk about here the last couple of weeks. One thing that
we have
hit on, yeah, we tried. Best Illini win this past year, yes. And your favorite Illini win. It could be the same, and the characteristic of a good season is having plenty of options to win at home against Iowa, at Wisconsin, at Penn State, at Purdue.
Ooh.
What is Tyler Underwood's favorite win or best win? Are they different or the same?
My favorite win, I'm going to have to go with at Purdue. We just, everything kind of clicked that game. We were so good on both sides of the ball. We had Trent making shots, Io making plays for everyone. Kofi was a monster. And to go into an arena like that, that's so hostile, so loud, and keep them pretty quiet for about 35 minutes, that was a really, really fun game. Best win, probably at Wisconsin. I mean, obviously they want to share the league. It was a place we hadn't won in so long, another hard place to play. And I kind of felt like that's where we developed kind of our road toughness. It was kind of a moment where, like, we can beat anyone we want on the road. This team kind of embraced that, and I kind of thought that game was the start of all that.
For the Penn State game where you upset number 9 Penn State at their place, that was the highest ranking that the Nittany Lions have had in their program history, and didn't know into the game, at least we didn't on the outside, whether Iowa was going to play or not. I expected that he wouldn't.
Yep.
I'm sure you guys obviously at some point knew he was going to go. What was that like? Did you have a little smirk on your face when you trotted out and say, we got the big gun coming back for this one?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I have so much respect for Io. If you guys knew how good he was and how hard he worked, we knew we knew if there was a chance he could give it a go, he was going to give it a go, and that's just the type of kid he is. So we knew, we found out probably just on the bus ride over, he's like, I'm going to go. I'm like, okay, like, let's go then. Let's go get it. But then actually a cool story. This is about 10 minutes before the game. We're in a huddle getting ready to run out of the court. He tells the team, like follow my lead because I'm not coming out of here without a W. So
nice.
Just says a little bit about his leadership, and he's truly a special kid.
What's the huddle like in a last possession moment when obviously you know where the ball's going and the shot that he's going to make? Now, he's not always going to go right, even though Pat Chambers thought he would. He goes left and hits the floater, but you know the ball's going in. So does the coaching staff, does your dad have to say anything?
Yeah.
Just look at each other and say, you know, I was going to go get this. What's that like in that huddle or even on the bench?
He usually call an action, you know, talk about what happens when he makes it. We're going to foul, no foul, depending on the situation. But, he loves those moments. And he was in so many of them. Me and him kind of got into a routine. My dad would call the plate, look at me, give me the wink and say, I got you, let's go home.
Nice.
So that's kind of his deal. He's just a kid that has so much confidence. And, we'd be on the bench. He has the ball in his hands late game. Like, we're already staying up expecting it to go in. So, but yeah, I mean, it's just confidence and how hard he worked, all that pays off.
Tyler Underwood, I wanted to ask you about your dad and on the heels of talking about these big wins, your dad is intense like most coaches and whatever the level, a lot of coaches are kind of that way. And I mean, does he get to enjoy a win? And I'm not saying he doesn't, because, you know, like the Wisconsin game, he's in there jumping around with you, and he had to switch shirts to go out and talk to the post or to the media afterwards. I mean, does a coach at a program like Illinois, do they get to enjoy a win, or is it just immediately the switch is flipped, whereas maybe you guys get a night to enjoy it, your dad automatically thinks, oh, boy, we got Purdue coming up next?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's the ultimate competitor, so he definitely enjoys the winning. For him, honestly, that probably lasted about 2 hours until we're on the plane ride back and he's jumping into the next game. He definitely enjoys winning. He's one of the best. He's one of the greatest competitors I've ever been around. Whether we're playing golf, whether we're doing anything, it's always competing. And that's one of the things he's instilled in me growing up, is just competitiveness and life's about competing. And so, yeah, he definitely enjoys winning.
Couple more for Tyler Underwood. I wanted to ask you, it's unique. Last year, not this past season, but the season before, of course, not a good season at all. And then all of a sudden, you see the rise of what Illinois can be as a program. Your dad said when he came here, you know, I know what this program can be. And to be able to kind of have to live through this two seasons ago and then see what it did this year, and to know, Tyler, that, you know, you had a big impact on maybe helping to turn this Illinois program around to what guys like me as a lifelong fan expect it to be. What was that like, the contrast of two seasons ago and then all of a sudden this past season to experience such great, you know, celebrations and success?
Yeah, the two seasons ago, we obviously had such a tough schedule. And one of the things that's really underrated in my opinion is just veterans and just age. We were really young that year. It's really hard for freshmen to fully grasp how hard it is to win. And just like all the little things that take a win. So we were still in the process of building that culture. But I don't know if we do what we do this year if we don't have to go through that as a team. And it's a testament to all of our guys that, like, we stuck it out through that. And because Io and Georgie and Trent, Monte, all those guys, they were a part of that, learned so much in that process, just about winning, things you can and can't do. And then this year, it was just our time, you know. We were older. We had won some big games, finally. We had had a whole offseason together. There was some continuity into our program, and I think it was just a lot of the culture things that finally paid off. I mean, we worked hard every day. We were everyday guys. We bought into all the little things, and I think that's what truly made this year special for everyone. It was because we knew what we could do. It may not have shown on the record two seasons ago, but we knew we were close. And then for us to accomplish all we did this year was really special.
professional? Not an easy question. You handled it. You've got this part of it down already if you're going to go into coaching. Tyler Underwood's got it down. All right, Tyler, last one. He looked at you. He said, follow my lead. We're not leaving here without a W at Penn State. Is he going to look at you and say, I'm coming back next year for Iowa? You've got the floor, man. Tell us. Everybody's wondering.
No, I don't know. Iowa's going to make the best decision for him. I have love for Iowa no matter what he does, man. Sure. The kid's unbelievable. His family's unbelievable. He deserves whatever he decides. He'll make it for the right reasons. I know that. So whether he's in an Illini jersey or an NBA jersey, I'll be an Iowa student for him.
Awesome.
Who would win a cage match? Brad Underwood and Tyler Underwood,
ooh.
Fran McCaffrey, Connor McCaffrey.
Oh, I like it.
Oh, sheesh. Sheesh. That's a tough one. I don't know. I'm going to need some official listing there, height, weight, before I make a decision on that one.
We do a goofy thing on Fridays. It's who you got. We just always pick, Illinois versus Ohio State. Well, now that we don't have sports, Hans D has been doing just coaches. So in round one, it was Brad Underwood against who was he? We had Brad winning a couple, and then he knocked out Hoiberg. Yeah, knocked out Hoiberg.
That was easy.
And then we went against Pat Chambers. We go against Pat Chambers, and I'm like, you know what? Brad looks like he could take a punch, but man, Pat Chambers, he's got a little bit of that nasty streak in him. So we went with Chambers. I hope your dad isn't
absolutely
mad about that.
I won't mention it to him. I don't know. You never know.
Let that one go. Tyler Underwood, excellent
Absolutely.
Stuff. Excellent stuff, my friend. Thank you so much for your time at Illinois, and I look forward to watching your career and whatever you do. You did a great job here. I'm glad you got that senior night moment at least, whereas the rest of the season, of course, didn't go your way. But great stuff today, my friend. Thank you so much, Tyler.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it, buddy. Tyler Underwood. Again, follow him on Twitter. At @TWood_12. When I think T. Wood, I think Travis Wood, the old Cubs pitcher, right? Or maybe not.
I didn't
old.
Think of the underscore Underwood.
You have to live in my life or in my mind, Derek. You don't want to, but that was the first thing I thought about. I'm like, is it Underwood underscore?
That's the T underscore Wood.
That would have been perfect. Maybe he can still change it. No, but follow Tyler. He's a fun kid, and what the stories that he has, the stories that he'd be able to sit down and tell you, and the life he's led already in three different programs. Like he said, a mid-major at Stephen F. Austin, and then of course Oklahoma State, and then Illinois, and to have a lot of success there. I know they went to the tournament at Stephen F. Austin. They went to the tournament at Oklahoma State. He would have gone to the tournament this season at Illinois. So certainly he plays a big part in that. And, I know a guy that didn't get a lot of minutes, Derek, but we don't understand. You do. You've been to practices. We don't, as the layman fan, understand the hard work and the time that a kid like Tyler Underwood has to put in. Because guess what? He's spending the same amount of time that a guy like Io is without maybe the reward of going out there on game night and getting to play a ton of minutes. That's even harder in my mind.
Yeah, for sure. And he's going up against Trent Frazier most days. And, of course, you got to be able to hold your own each and every game. And obviously, he works hard just like any other walk-on out there. So, Tyler, a guy that has been around the game for a long time.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's going to continue on the coaching side. But funny note before we take a break is he told me when he did a story that when his dad was at K-State,
mm-hmm.
Tyler used to play video games with Michael Beasley.
Oh, yeah.
And now he's playing video games with Andrew Tay.
Little bit of a difference in terms of income and net worth, I think, with Michael Beasley. Is Beasley still in the NBA?
I don't think so anymore.
How cool, though, that and I know I mean that. It's such a cool thing for Andrew to be able to play with Trent and Tyler, and it's super nice that those kids do that. Not kids Andrew, but I still call him kids. Tyler's still young, but that the players do that because
what it means to
they don't have any idea.
Kids, yeah,
they have no idea. And even at an Illini tailgate last year, Tyler walked by and said hi to Andrew. And I'm like, he doesn't even know me. Why you got to be? It's funny though, and it just kind of shows you the kind of person you're dealing with, which is fantastic. All right, thanks for setting that up, Derek. That was fun to visit with Tyler Underwood. Hope you enjoyed that one. All right, 5:05 coming up here. Fred Wakefield, former Illini football player, 7 years in the NFL. Want to ask him about the week before the draft. What was he thinking? Take us back to Fred's time when he ultimately did not get drafted in the NFL, but what was he thinking? How was that? And how are some of these players now getting the nervousness of knowing that that could be your career? And, of course, Fred made a nice career in the NFL. So we'll talk to Fred Wakefield and touch on that. If you want to weigh in, you always can. 359-2255. That's 359-2255. It is The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.